Welcome to Strategies for Success. I'm Bonnie Dubrow, your host for the radio show dedicated to your success in business and in life. Here you'll discover ways to make your journey a richer, more satisfying, and joyful experience. Together we'll be traveling life's ups and downs. And when you find yourself in uncharted territory, I'm here to be a guiding light. Today my guest is Fred Goodnight. He's a musician, a drummer, and has quite an extraordinary background that brings him to be sitting here with me today. Welcome, Fred.
Oh, thank you, Bonnie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, how you got to be a musician in the first place, a little bit about your background, and how you came to be in Melbourne, Florida, and that I was fortunate enough to cross your path.
Well, that's an excellent question. You know, I used to be a, what we call a Florida snob.
Ooh, what is a Florida snob?
And a Florida snob is one who, like, has an attitude about wealthy people who go to Florida in the wintertime for vacations. So why would they want to do that, you know? But anyhow,
Now you are one.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was born in Coyopolis, Pennsylvania. If you've ever flown out of the greater Pittsburgh airport, it's on the outskirts of Coyopolis, and it's a little town, population about 6,000, and I grew up there having a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful childhood, and some of my schoolmates still live there. Why? I don't know, but they're still there. And I first connected with music by going to church, and we had some wonderful, wonderful church music, gospel music at the time. And one day there was a visiting piano player that came, and I never will forget his name and his face. And his name was Elder Hornsby.
Ooh.
And he played the piano in a very, very different kind of way, and I heard something that I had never heard before in the way he played, and it just really spoke to me. And I said, there's something there, and I have to find out what it is. So my mother played piano a little bit, too, so I learned, you know, about music fundamentals from her. And then around about the sixth grade, seventh grade, you make a choice as to what instrument you'd like to play in the band.
Yes.
And so I nonchalantly chose the drum. You know, there's this big, long list of instruments, and I said, well, I think I'll try the drum. And in looking back, that was the best decision I have ever made in my entire life.
Boy, that's an amazing statement to know that moment was the pivotal moment, and that in a sense you made it randomly.
Yes.
Yet spirit, it's almost like before you were born, you made this agreement, and
exactly.
Spirit took your hand and
moved
it to drumming.
Yes, and it was just wow, you know. And so I answered the call, and the beauty of that call is that I've been able to travel to 32 different countries and 22 different states, and hope that my music touched people's lives. And there's been times when I know, in fact, that it did, and there's been times that I hope that it did.
What's the difference? What goes on in the experience itself that gives you the knowing that's sometimes missing, and then it's a hope I did?
Well, you can watch people's reaction. I've seen people cry.
Wow.
You know, and I say, wow. You know, and I've cried myself. You know, I've been in times where I've heard music and could not sit in my seat. Had to just get up and walk and move.
Well, you've seen me sit still, right?
Yes,
I
yes,
always get up and move.
And obviously, when you see people get up and dance, you know, I play in a blues band out of Cleveland, Ohio. And we do a lot of blues festivals, some of which are in Europe. Recently, we did one in Switzerland, and then more recently, one in Belgium. And you watch people's reaction, and they become moved.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And that's a wonderful thing to witness. Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that you had traveled around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Was that before or after? I mean, did you travel? I know you mentioned that you'd been in the Marine Corps when we had spoken earlier. Was that your first taste of going around the world, or had your music taken you on world travels prior to that?
It was through traveling with the Marine Corps. And this, here's a story about this that is so heartwarming for me. This took place in 1959 and 1960. Mm-hmm. And one of my dear buddies from that time, he and I were at a reunion just a few weeks ago in Orlando. And so we had not connected in all these years, so we reconnected. And we stay in touch now. So he's going to come down here in a couple of weeks, actually.
Wonderful.
Yeah. But it was through the Marine Corps traveling. We would travel 9 months out of the year.
How did you get to be a drummer in the Marine Corps? I mean, I know that there's the Marine Corps band. Mm-hmm. How many drummers are in the band? How did you get to be in the position to be selected? That's quite a statement.
Yes, it is. And it's going back to that first connection, you know, Spirit being my guide and just being open enough to follow Spirit. But I didn't know that at the time. You know, I didn't know that, well, Spirit's guiding me and I'm going to follow Spirit, you know. But it turned out that that's what it was. So after basic training, all Marines have to go through the crawl through the mud kind of stuff. You know. But after that, you choose your military occupational status.
Uh-huh. You know.
And so here again is the list. See, and I go down there and I 5593 drummer, and that's what I chose.
Wow.
And of course, being a Marine, you're supposed to be, you know, a real macho, tough guy. And so people actually laugh, say, "You're a drummer," you know, like, wow, you know.
What a wimp.
Yeah, exactly. But that, again, there was another awesome, great, great, great experience. Because in January, February, March, we traveled to Japan, Okinawa, and Korea. We'd come back, and I'll tell you at the end where we were stationed at. And then we'd take off again in Hong Kong, Philippines, and Taiwan. And we'd come back, and then we'd go to Alaska and California. And then the next year, we'd do it all over again, based out of Hawaii.
Oh, that's too bad, Fred.
Well, we were stationed up on this hill, I guess, maybe even a mountain, overlooking Pearl Harbor. And where the average temperature year-round was about a nice, cool 82 degrees. It would rain in the morning for about 5 minutes just to dampen the dust. It was great. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know that for you, music is more than performing.
Mm, certainly.
That the idea of rhythm is more than the drum.
Absolutely.
Would you please share, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not performing, what are you doing? And how is the drum a symbol of life? How is that?
Good question. Well, you know, I look at the way we live in a what I might call a rhythmic soundscape. And I say that because everywhere, all the time, there's rhythm going on. All the time, absolutely. And even before we're born, you know, when we're in our mother's womb, you know, we have our heartbeat and our mother's heartbeat, you know, giving us a rhythm for 9 months or so. And so we get very, very used to rhythm at the very earliest part of our lives. So we come into life with rhythm.
Yes.
And then we see it all around us. We see the changing from night to day. We see the changing of the seasons. We see the ebb and flow of the tide and all these things. We see birds flapping their wings. You know, we see ourselves getting up in the morning, brushing our teeth, you know, combing or brushing our hair, walking, running, car horns. You know, there's this rhythm everywhere.
You know, what's very fascinating to me is to hear you talk about rhythm. And the examples you gave, the verb that you used was see. I think mm-hmm. of rhythm as hear.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's a see, hear, feel
exactly.
experience.
Yes, good observation. Yes, it is. And so I think what humans tried to do even early on was to somehow maybe internalize and put themselves as a part of this rhythm that was going on around them. So they would pick up rocks, sticks, and whatever to make rhythm, you know.
Even our hands. Clapping our hands.
You know, body there's people that do workshops solely on body percussion. They just play parts of their body
I've
that sound different.
I've seen people perform that. It's marvelous.
Yeah, and there's a group out of Africa called Gum Boots, and they have these rubber boots on, and they actually play the rubber boots on their feet.
That reminds me of Stomp. Have you seen them?
Yes. Oh, Stomp was incredible.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of how you can take any object, I don't care what it is, you know, and if you've seen Stomp, you know, they play newspapers.
And big lighters.
Yeah,
and matchboxes.
Yeah, push brooms, you know. So everything is rhythm. And what we're trying to do, I think, is rhythmatize ourselves so that we can maybe become closer to what I call this universal rhythm that's going on around us, for us, and about us. And we just want to be a part of that. So the drum is just a tool. I see the drum as just a metaphor, you know.
You said that we want to become part of nature. What's fascinating for me is the ancient ones lived as part of nature. It's us modern folk that have a lifestyle and a belief that we're separate from, we're above, we're controlling. I see rhythm as a way for those of us who are becoming more and more conscious to get back to that basic rhythm.
Yes, yeah.
You've traveled around the world. Are there different? Do different people express rhythm differently? Are there different rhythms?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the same? So differences in the same around the world to
great
show.
Great question. Great question.
To show that it's a human thing.
Yeah.
It's.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think the commonality might be not necessarily the rhythm, but this is a part of the rhythm. I think the commonality is sound. Because Native Americans play drums, but they don't play like fancy, complicated rhythms. They just play doom, 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 doom. I don't care what. And same thing is true like in the Caribbean, some of the islands that practice the religion of the Yoruba religion. And I've been to a couple, they had a Bob Marley celebration. Just maybe a few weeks ago at one of the satellite colleges here, Brevard Community College down in Palm Bay.
Yes.
And the drum, they had several different songs, but the drummers played the same rhythm to all the songs. And it was ever so simple. It was doom-toom, doom-toom, doom-toom.
The heartbeat.
Doom-toom, yeah. And then the mother drum played boom, boom. And it was just, and it was so delicious.
I have to tell you a story. I had been studying yoga in Tampa at the University of South Florida. The faculty advisor to the club invited a yogi, Yogi Amrit Desai, to come to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
I was very touched by him. And several months later, there was a three-day weekend retreat.
Oh, wow.
We arrived a few minutes late. I stood in the back of the room. Amrit started chanting. And then the drums came in. And that was it. I knew I was home. It was a gut, visceral soul connection. And then I came to play the drums when I lived there. And as we've spoken, I've actually studied the littlest bit of playing the tablas. And I have a bunch of percussion that I bring to church on Sunday. So I know what it's like to connect through movement and dance,
yes,
through my hands, with and without instruments. You said that the drum is a metaphor. Can you tie that back to this idea of rhythm, the rhythm of nature, and humans using rhythm to reconnect to our roots, to our beingness?
Yeah, because we still want to reconnect with that mother heartbeat thing. You know, just there's a longing to do that because we missed it. We had that other heartbeat along with ours for 9 months, and there's a yearning to reconnect with that. But also, you know, we each have our own inherent rhythm. And I'm trying to make my rhythm fit with your rhythm so that we can connect on a human level. You know, so if I meet you, and we use other words, we say your personality, my personality, or we say your energy and my energy, but we're talking about our rhythm. So we want to rhythmatize with each other through cross-cultural barriers, cross-language barriers.
The word vibration comes up for me. You're saying rhythm, vibration, it's a pulse.
Yeah.
That the word entrainment, that that our personalities can be different, we can be using different languages, yet there's that spark of humanness that bonds us. When we accept that, we can connect with anybody.
True, very true. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so you've traveled the world using rhythm as a way of expressing that connection and helping others to get in touch with it?
Because, and it takes very little help, because if that entrainment thing plays into this, then it becomes easier and easier for people to plug into and hook up to, align themselves with that rhythm.
When we get back, we'll be talking more about that alignment. I'd like you to talk more about that. And how about if you lead me and our audience in a simple activity that will actually connect all of us at one time?
Sure. Absolutely.
This is Bonnie Dubrow. I'm the host for Strategies for Success. I'm talking to Fred Goodnight, who is a drummer, a musician here in Melbourne, Florida, who travels the world bringing people together through the rhythm of the drum. You are listening to radioforwomen.us. That's www.radioforwomen.us. And that's the number four, radio, number four, women.us. If you'd like to reach me, you can email me at bonnie@radioforwomen.us. When Fred gets back, he'll tell you how you can reach him.